Hi, everybody.
I was in the wrong Zoom room. I was waiting there all alone. I'm so glad I thought to check. Wrong program.
So good to see everyone. I know we're meeting on an off day, and so I'm glad for whoever is able to be here live. And if you are listening to the recording and you weren't able to be here live, welcome, welcome to you as well. It's all good. It's going to be a really rich call today. So we, in some ways, it's actually really great because we get to kind of look at all of creating, not all of creating awareness, but a lot of creating awareness back to back. What we're going to be looking at in our session today is very much related to what we looked at yesterday in creating awareness one. We're kind of just sort of expanding out the conversation. We're going to be spending most of our time today devoted to looking at honoring what I call honoring what is, a type of acknowledging, and also to look at celebrating, which is more than meets the eye. So we're going to be looking at both of those skills. But before we jump into honoring what is and celebrating, a couple of other pieces from reflecting truth from yesterday that I want to make sure we take a look at together. The first is we kind of spoke about this, so I'll be brief on it, but it just feels important to mention again. One subset of reflecting truth, and again, like in quotations, is consulting. Or sharing facts, right? So there are moments where sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, your experience is going to be very, very helpful for your client. Either because you have information that they just simply don't have. And that might be one of the reasons why they've hired you. That happens for me all the time. Or because you have experience that they don't have or that it would be helpful for your client to hear. So I do, a percentage of the work that I do is related to consulting. Whether it's consulting on business pieces, consulting on, client case studies, or making curriculum for groups better, and even just on life pieces. All of you have seen me model this in our training calls. I do it on our Q&A calls as well. I think the two pieces I want to share on this, we both touched on yesterday, but just to underline again, number one, we don't want to use this as a crutch. We don't want our sessions to just become consult sessions where we're just giving advice and ideas. We want to use it, I don't want to say sparingly, that's not the right word. We want to use it intentionally. And we want it when we consult, we want to use consulting as a coaching skill, meaning we want to use it to co-create awareness. Back to what we looked at yesterday for a client to then see something more deeply for themselves, accept something more deeply for themselves, embody something more deeply for themselves. We want them to find their truth in it, which leads me to the other piece about consulting, even facting. A fact is not ever a fact with a capital F, or a truth with a capital T, right? Same with everything we looked at yesterday. Even if I know something from experience about business that I have seen happen for myself and every client that I've worked with, that may not be true for the client in front of me. I can share what I've seen, right? As a way of creating awareness, but it is always a toss, not a you must do this. It's always a toss, not a you must do this. Does that make sense? Okay, great. Another piece we touched on yesterday, but I could feel there was like some nervousness around it. And so I wanted to kind of back into it again. Oh, excuse me for that ding. I forgot to turn my email off. Hold on. I wanted to just come back to it again to underscore our job is not to try to keep our clients comfortable all the time. Our job is not to try to keep our clients comfortable all the time. It is more than okay if we reflect something and it creates some discomfort, even a little bit of trigger for our clients. Growth comes out of discomfort. It does not come out of extreme pain or extreme trigger, but it does come out of discomfort. And if on an energetic level, if we are concerned about our clients only being comfortable, only being super happy about everything that we share, never getting a little bit triggered, then we are not able to be fully present in our roles. Now, we don't want discomfort after discomfort after discomfort after discomfort after discomfort. That's not a great environment for growth, right? But we do want to stretch. We'll look much more at this as we continue on, but we do want opportunities for our clients to stretch. And it's if we have created a tight container and a trusting container and a container, excuse me, that is filled with respect and love and self-awareness, then when discomfort or a little trigger comes up, it is such valuable information. It is such valuable information that can then be looked at and used for growth, for moving forward, for repatterning. If there's never any tension and it's always easy, 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 comfortable, 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 it's in the hard moments. If we have that beautiful container that we can see more deeply into ourselves, does that make sense? Okay, good. I'm going to take it a step further now, and we're going to keep on coming back to looking at these pieces, but I want to just introduce this for you to consider. I could feel a little bit also some tension yesterday of like, what if I make a mistake? What if I do something that really offends? What if I say something that really offends my client, right? So now we're not only just talking about discomfort, but maybe we've said something that really offends our client. Here's what I want you to consider about that. Of course, we want to try to avoid that, but you are human. It is going to happen. Not a lot, not regularly, but you can do everything right and it will still at some point happen. It has happened to me. And when that happens, I want you to remember that it is not, how do I want to say that? Well, I'll just put it out there. Rupture and repair. Okay, so there is a theory that it's not about a rupture, that like when a rupture happens in a relationship, whether it's with a client, I think about it a lot in terms of parenting with my kids, I mess up way more than I mess up with my clients. Woo-wee, right? Like we have ruptures a lot, but what research has shown is that damage, whatever you want to call, doesn't happen because of the rupture. It happens if there isn't repair in a healthy way that is done afterwards. So in other words, if you do happen to mess up and you do end up offending a client inadvertently, it's all about how you handle it afterwards, how you move towards repair, how you take ownership, right? How you continue to bring the love, how what you do to correct it. And the theory and the research goes even further to show that if repair is done with love and in aligned ways, it not only like negates the rupture, but it creates so much more growth and evolution. Right? We cannot, as practitioners, be in mortal fear that a rupture or an offense might happen, because again, we can do it all right, but it's just like life is messy and it may. But then what are our energetics? When do we go into our defenses? Do we go into blame? Do we disconnect? Or do we lean in with love and taking ownership, right? And trusting ourselves and trusting our client, everything we spoke about in our very first call. I know that we can have a beautiful discussion on this. We're not going to right now because there's still a lot that I want to take a look at today, but I'd love to hear in the chat what you're learning so far from what we're taking a look at on this topic. What's really resonating for you? What's sparking for you? What's feeling really important? Victoria saying growth comes from discomfort and the container having the resiliency to hold that and normalize it. Yes, beautifully said. Jen is saying, oh, that might be for me. Yes. Golda is saying, I appreciate the permission to be lightly trigger friendly. Yes, well said. Amy's saying, getting even more comfortable with discomfort, all inclusive, my own and others. Yes, to the growth edge. Yes, said. Nisha says, I really like thinking about consulting as a way to create awareness and used as a coaching tool. Yeah, there's that delineation there. Yes. Juniper is saying the parallels between physical and emotional health both require building tolerance to be with discomfort in order to grow. Yes. Yeah. Building discomfort in that container, right? The container allows for that resilience. Helen is saying it's okay to misstep or say the wrong thing. What matters most is how we take accountability and course correct from a place of love and integrity. Yes, yes, yes. Sheila is saying it helps to hear that it's okay to make mistakes. It's not the end of the world or the coaching relationship. Absolutely. Yeah, Victoria wants to dive into consulting as a skill versus being the primary purpose of the relationship. Yes. Jen is saying, it makes us inspire and own the work. We have to do the work in order to be a better space holder. Yeah. So this is another invitation for us to be willing to be in the discomfort, to move into the repair after a rupture, all of that. I am consistently doing my own inner work, right? It's an invitation for all of us. That's leadership. Yep. Like tuning a guitar string. Okay. Beautiful. Okay. One other piece. Oh, I'll read one more in the chat. Raquel is saying, it's reassuring to hear that in addition to the repair, there can be growth. Yes. Following the rupture. Yes. Good. Maria is saying, I'm seeing how I can be a coach. In the other sessions, I was a little shut down by not having filters, not consulting, and always wanting to be in a relationship of just asking them what they want and feel. Yes, this helps you show up as yourself. Good experience and love. Yes, good, good. Okay, one other piece before we move into honoring what is and celebrating. We kind of got out of the way yesterday, reflecting harder things. Let's talk about reflecting things that maybe aren't so hard, because reflecting is such a valuable coaching and transformational tool. I use, we can call it more like simple reflecting. I use it all the time, right? And we go back to, again, how I defined yesterday, creating awareness, supporting a client to see something about themselves or their situation that they haven't yet seen. Or in simple reflecting, this is another biggie, supporting a client to accept something about that they may. So what I mean by that is, sometimes people say things, but they haven't embodied it. They haven't fully accepted. It's like they've said it, we've heard them say it, but they haven't fully taken it in. Reflecting is a beautiful way to help a client more deeply take it in. So there's so many examples of how to reflect in this simple way. I'm going to give you a couple of different language pieces. I hear that you're ready for a new way of showing up with your team, right? A client may have just been talking about, this isn't working with the team and I feel like I could do this and, maybe that and the other thing. Reflecting back something like, I hear that you're ready for a new way of showing up with your team. It's like, that's what the client was saying, but they were maybe talking about this idea, that idea. We're taking in more fully that they're ready for a new way. I hear that you have such deep compassion and care for your clients, right? Reflecting back this, what you're seeing, that they have so much compassion and care. Here's another example. Sounds like your heart isn't in it, right? It almost sounds as if you're bored with that program. Here's another way of just simple reflecting. As I was just listening to you, I got the image of a bird flying free, right? So sharing images as metaphors, a beautiful way of reflecting and creating awareness. I'm a very visual person. So a lot of times I'll be listening to a client and I'll get, an image. Oh, it feels, as I was listening, it felt almost like this energy of a racehorse right before the gates are about to go up, right? So sharing those images. I'll also reflect like little things I hear in my head when a client is talking, if it feels relevant and important reflection for them. Yeah, as you're just talking, I heard in my head, can't think of a good example right now. Like I heard in my head, you are ready, right? Whatever it is, I'm like all about just sharing those little quirks if I feel like it's something that's important for my client to hear. Here's another example of a simple reflection. Feels like you're bringing heaviness to that conversation that you want to have with your sister, right? Reflecting that you're hearing heaviness in how they're approaching things. I love how you just used the phrase next level. It feels so apt, right? So to highlight something also that a client just said. I got excited as you were just talking about that new program idea. Again, if you feel a client's excitement, mirroring that back. One thing, I used to never do this. And over the last 3 years, you've all heard me say this many times because I use it a lot now because it's so true. Sometimes when I am listening to a client and they've just said something so important, and I can hear energetically how important it is, I get the chills or goosebumps. And so I reflect back, oh, I just got the chills when you said that, or I just got goosebumps when you said that, right? As a, oh, something important was just said. Another way or moment that you might want to use reflecting is if a client has just shared a lot all at once. They've just kind of like, you know, like a lot of different things just kind of came out of their mouth. You don't want to just continue from there. You want to take a pause there and reflect back so the client can pull on the most important threads. So for me, either after a client has shared a lot of details or after a client has just shared something very, very significant, I will say, let's pause here for a moment, right? Because it is a moment of pause. And then I'll say, if they've just shared a lot, I'll say, you know, you've just shared so much. It's amazing. And I want to reflect back some of the pieces that I'm hearing to make sure that I'm getting it right. And then I'll reflect back, but I won't reflect back everything. I'll emphasize the most important parts as I was listening, at least as I heard them, that I sense want emphasis. Right? Or if they've just said something significant, I'll say, oh, let's pause here a moment because I feel like you just said something really important. I want to share what I just heard is, am I getting that right? All of these different ways of reflecting that we're talking about right now are also tools for slowing down the conversation so that integration can happen step by step by step by step. It's a pacing tool that allows for embodiment and integration. And we want to be thinking about that. We don't want to be sprinting in our sessions. We don't want to run from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. We want to be pacing and learning. Remember, learning happens cyclically. We want breakthroughs. We want integration. Breakthroughs. We want integration. And then the last piece on this, Bruce yesterday brought up mirroring. And I want to kind of invite us to think of when we reflect in these ways, that is also a way of mirroring our clients. So we all have mirror neurons inside of us. And there's been a lot of research on babies. Babies have mirror neurons. And what it means is that we get validated when someone outside of us mirrors what we're doing. We get validated, we feel more in our bodies, grounded inside of ourselves, and validated inside of ourselves when we see somebody outside of us doing what we're doing. So with babies, there's been a lot of research done that You know, if a baby smiles, you smile back at a baby. If a baby grimaces, you grimace back at the baby. It's activating the baby's neurons to feel validated in all of who they are. We want to think about doing that with clients, not like every single moment, right? But we want to think about doing that with clients. So using similar language, you know, repeating back language that a client uses, it's activating those mirror neurons. Sometimes speaking in the same tone that a client has just spoken, activating mirror neurons. Research has been done on this in sales, of course, capitalism, but I think it's useful for us. So research has shown that salespeople that mirror prospects' language. And then also if a prospect leans in, if the salesperson then leans in, and then if a prospect happens to lean out and the salesperson then leans out, they're more likely to make the sale. Pretty interesting, right? So think about how that applies in coaching conversations as well. All right, let me pause here. Love to hear a voice or two on what's feeling important around just this more of this simple reflecting that we're talking about, or pausing people when they are talking a lot, or mirroring. Jen.
Yeah, I can really relate to this with one of my clients who is very intellectual and self-analyzing and quite self-critical, honestly. And she loves to process. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of information. And I've been learning how to have some space, because before it was like hard to actually, in our time, our sessions would end and she would feel really upset because she was just talking the whole time, and then she'd feel critical about herself. So all that to be said, you know, I've learned how to allow for more reflection and asking like, hey, is it okay to reflect? But what really came through here is it's like little tiny things that you do that are so helpful, such as let's pause here for a moment. Like those words are gold, you know, because it's different than me saying, hey, would it be okay if I can reflect? Let's pause here for a moment has more leadership involved and a safer container.
Yeah, it's still gentle and respectful.
Yeah.
And with the let's pause here for a moment, you can also use that. You know, it is okay sometimes to interrupt a client. So if they're like spinning out or not like, you know, they're talking around the thing or whatever it is okay to say, hold on a moment. Let's pause here for a moment. And again, the same words, like you've just shared so much. And before you go any further, I want to reflect what I'm hearing. It's a great tool to help a client in that moment go from like the scattered to the focused. Mm-hmm. And then after you reflect back, you know, ask if you're getting it right. And then say, okay, then from this place, what's feeling most important to you? Where do we want to go next? So it can be that pause and reflection can also be a great tool to go from like this into some focus.
That's really helpful. Yeah, thank you. It can feel like a lot. She wants to get it all out. Yeah. And she, you know, she's like journaled and she's so prepared. But then she wants to tell it all at once. And it can be, you know, I do pretty good following the threads, but yeah, that's really helpful. From that place, what is feeling like the most important thing to go? Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Golda.
Yeah, that was really helpful. I have a little bit of a question around mirroring. Something that I'm noticing inside myself is when I'm coaching someone who talks really fast, I speed up my talking. And one of the things, Joanna, that I admire so much about you is your pacing. I don't love it that I'm doing it, but I'm noticing it's like, it's hard for me not to. So I'm curious if you can speak to that.
I'm so glad you're saying that, because what I wanted to add onto the mirroring thing is it's great sometimes for us to mirror back, but everything always intentional. It's also great sometimes for us to not mirror back and kind of puncture that, you know, the pacing or the tone or whatever, if we want something else, right? So we always want to be thinking, is this a mirroring moment or is this a shifting the energy moment? And so what I would say is, I mean, this is so simple. It's not anything you don't know, but sometimes we just need to come back to the things that we, you know, already know. The more grounded you can be in yourself, in your energy, in how you want to hold the container going into a session, the more regulated you can be, then the more you can hold your pace, your grounding, you know, that solid energy, so that if a client, sometimes the speeding up is dysregulated, sometimes it's just excitement, whatever it is, you can then determine, do we want more of this energy or do we want more of the slower energy? And really the changing of the pace is sometimes about us slowing down how we're saying something. Yeah. Good. Okay. All right. So with that, let's move into acknowledging. And as I said, we're going to look at two different types of acknowledging. I mean, everything we've looked at in creating awareness is acknowledging. So I don't know, take the label or not. Sometimes my Virgo self wants to create a lot of containers that don't necessarily need to be there. But we're going to look at two ways. One is honoring what is, and one is celebrating. So what it is honoring, what I call honoring what is, it's essentially taking the time and the space to honor what's not so great, to honor what's not so savory, and to honor the shitty experience that a client might be having. Okay, so what does this even mean? Maybe it's obvious, but I'm just going to spell it out a little more. We don't want to only be like like love and light coaches that are just like, rah, rah, like cheer, right? We want to honor all that is, the beauty, the celebration, what's going well. And we also don't want to bypass or not honor what's not going well, right? So when we can honor what it is, it helps a client feel validated in what they're feeling or experiencing, right? It helps a client know that they have a right to feel how they're feeling. It helps a client know that they're not abnormal for struggling or for feeling the way that they do. Honoring what is helps a client become aware of or connect more deeply with what they're really feeling and experiencing. Honoring what is can help a client accept their situation or themselves more deeply, right? And accepting a situation doesn't mean we're also working to change it if we want to change it, but acceptance, we also need the acceptance part of it. Honoring what is can support a client to trust themselves and their instincts and their feelings more deeply, and to feel very seen and heard and loved and nourished. So again, so many different ways or wording to honor what is. I'm gonna share some examples. That must have been really frustrating. right? Client just shares something. Don't just move on to what are the solutions or here are the positive points or, right? That must have been really frustrating. Or that sounds really tough. I know you worked so hard on that and it makes perfect sense that you're disappointed. I completely get why you'd feel really angry about what happened with your sister. I'm so sorry to hear that. I feel your sadness with you. It can be so painful when we have an employer who never acknowledges our strengths, right? If a client was just talking about how they never get acknowledged. Right now is such a busy time for you. You've got a lot on your plate. You've moved beyond that relationship. It makes so much sense that it's bringing up so many emotions. I have a little bit of a dirty mouth. I think you all have figured it out by now. So, you know, excuse the next one, but that would have surprised the shit out of me too. Sounds like you really held your composure in an incredibly tough situation. I really wanted that for you too. And I'm sorry that didn't happen. Right. So those are just some examples. So again, honoring what is helps a client feel seen and heard and loved. It can create a deeper connection between client and practitioner, which leads to more vulnerability and willingness to have a breakthrough. Honoring what is the truth of a situation helps a client to see more clearly, to be able to process it better, and to take actions from there if actions are called for. When we honor what is, it can help our clients honor themselves. Right? Energy follows energy. When we honor, it helps our client honor themselves or their experiences or their feelings. And maybe you've experienced this before. I certainly have. Sometimes in that, it helps them to literally or metaphorically take a deep sigh of relief. Like, oh, no pretending, full honesty here. I'm out of hiding. This doesn't have to be a shame thing that I feel this way or that this is happening. Honoring what is a tool that helps us to not bypass our clients or use toxic positivity. It helps us to not bypass or use toxic positivity. It is a way of normalizing. I mean, you've probably heard me use that term already a dozen times in this program. It is one of our greatest gifts as practitioners. A couple months ago, I heard Brené Brown say the opposite of pathologizing is normalizing. And it just like, it just hit the nail on the head, right? When human beings have like shitty experiences or emotions that we're taught not to have, or like whatever it is, we all of a sudden go into the shame of it, right? And especially then we look out onto social media and everybody's living their best life. Then we like go into more shame. And it's like, I see one of my biggest gifts that I can give my clients, that I give my community, I do this in my newsletters and in social media, is normalizing the messy, normalizing the pain, normalizing the hard, all of it. It is a transformational tool. It is a transformational tool. When we honor what is, we do want to make sure that we're holding an aligned balance between honoring what is and also holding and seeing our client in their strength. Right? So what we don't want to do is honor what is with pity or like, oh, this person in front of me is so wounded. We want to honor, right? Honor what is while honoring that this person in front of me is whole and complete and has strength and resilience and everything that they need. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Because the energy with which it's delivered is everything. I once read, and I love this quote, coaching is love in action in a professional setting. Coaching is love in action in a professional setting. And I think it applies to this and really everything that we learn here. All right, let me pause here. What is feeling important? What's really resonating for you? What questions do you have? Victoria.
This is all so good. I want to spend all day on just this. but I want to circle back to something because it's something that we've been playing with, which is like the micro steps of awareness, acknowledging, and acceptance. And like how to even dial in to those three aspects even more. I made like a Mad Libs in my notebook, you know, like a fill in the blank. I become aware that I can acknowledge that when I can now accept that. Like, I don't know, just to circle back to like combing through the subtleties of how those are connected, maybe.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing it up. And like sometimes it's linear and then sometimes it's cyclical, right? So, and I love how you lay it out because I think those are the steps for sure, acknowledging and then accepting and then embracing. Is that how you put it? Were those the three? I may not have repeated it back the right way. You tell me.
Well, yeah, it was the awareness.
Awareness,
like
right.
Awareness. And then like acknowledging this thing. Yeah. And then the acceptance is like softening. And then that leads like into the integration. Yeah.
Yes. So a couple things. So first of all, even just you thinking about it in that way, sometimes it is going to happen at once, like those three things, right? Sometimes it's about a step by step and coming back to it. So every situation is going to be different, but it's good to be listening to like where a client is. And then I'll add this piece. We haven't yet in the program spoken too much about the four levels of learning and processing. But to get to the second two parts, sometimes bringing the somatic level in can be really helpful, right? So once that acknowledging awareness happens, sometimes to then ask a client, okay, where can you feel the even maybe just the honoring of it, right? Or the accepting of that, where can you feel that in your body, right? What does it feel like to own that this is not the situation you want it to be. And also that there is possibility here, you know, whatever it is, but sometimes bringing in that other level can help move. Is that helpful?
Totally. It's such good stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Helen.
Hi. I just wanted to share how grateful I am that we're diving into this, because I had a personal experience of being in a coaching container where I shared something challenging and it was not acknowledged. It was not honored. It was not celebrated. It was actually met with judgment and criticism, and it completely destroyed the relationship, so that I actually left the container. I sacrificed thousands of dollars because I realized that these people were not in integrity. And so having that experience, like, really planted the seed of how important it is to meet people where they are, to not judge from my filters and my biases, and to hold space and take that moment to acknowledge and honor. And so I'm just so grateful for the depths that we go through here, because I had that contrasting experience of how it just, like, completely, like, it destroys the playing field, like the equilibrium is lost. And there was just, even though I tried to communicate that, there was no repair attempted. So even that rupture, there was no grace or acknowledgement of the rupture. And so it was really empowering to be able to walk away from, and it's really empowering to now be in this sacred space in the juxtaposition of that, to see, like, I really saw what doesn't work, and now I can really feel what does work. And so I feel really blessed to be in such a sacred container that has such strong values of integrity, and just happy to be here and learning so much from this perspective.
I'm so happy you're here. I'm so sorry that you had that experience. It is not the first time I've heard that. And you just shared. So thank you for sharing it, because it's important for us all to hear. It not only ruins that relationship, like you said, it can create shame sometimes or self-doubt, all the things. And I just really want to honor you for taking care of yourself and being willing to walk away and take that stand for you. Thank you. Amy.
Yeah, I'm loving the depth of this and seeing how it's sparking into the different areas that we've covered, and the word aligned balance between honoring what is and reminding ourselves that our clients are whole and complete as they are. And what's linked directly there for me was the equalizing the playing field. So it relates a little bit back to what Helen was saying, and it was kind of that check for me of, whilst opening that space to really honor what is for the person, to make sure for me that the playing field is equal, that aligned balance seems to really uphold that. Yeah, that was what was pinging for me of a good checker.
Yes, yeah, because we're not honoring what is from this pedestal of, like, oh, that would never happen to me, right? But yeah. It's like the humanity of it, there can be strength in it and so much respect, and this person is whole and complete, and it really sucks right now. Yeah, beautiful, thank you. Jen, did you have your hand up?
Oh, I just felt really inspired by how you reflected that something that your clients love is this normalization that you do so well. And I just wanted to, because it wasn't really a question, so I put my hand down, but I just wanted to say it's such a great invitation for us to write, for me, I'll own it, to write, you know, an email to my mailing list about normalizing and this topic of normalizing fear, shame, all the stuff. And I just love what you said about allowing it to be messy. And that really feels true for me. And it was just, I felt like a really lovely invitation for us to do that, for myself to do that.
Yeah.
like beautiful. Write the email and create the culture, you know?
Exactly.
Inspire the people to be messy.
I'm glad you're underlining it. I mean, oh, I could talk forever on this. I'm going to say this now. We can all have more of a discussion if you want, but like I see, and hopefully all of you are starting to see that this work that we're looking at, all of this in Sacred Depths, it is about personal coaching, but I see it as activist work also. Like I really do. And I see normalizing as part of that. Like it is doing my bit, one of my bits in the world to change these ideas of everything just has to look a certain way or else there's something really wrong or whatever it is. So anyway, I hope that makes sense, but it's like, it's such a passion of mine because in all the personal work that we're doing with clients, also like they've been so impacted by the culture. We're not only helping to undo personal stories, we're helping to undo and unravel cultural messaging always. Okay. So a couple other small notes on honoring what is. If you wanna do some inner work as a reminder, the more capacity we have in holding in for ourselves that we are whole and complete, and also shitty, messy things happen for us, right? The paradox of that, the more we can hold that for our clients as well, right? The more we increase our threshold on that. So maybe you want to call yourself out a little bit if you're not so good at doing that for yourself. And when, you know, shitty things happen, you don't honor it for you and you don't like, you see it in the catastrophe or the, right, all the things, work on that. By the way, no myth of perfection over here. When we get to our belief work, rewiring, all of that, I will tell you about my catastrophic thinking. And even just take a moment right now, and if it feels comfortable, close your eyes. What does it feel like? See if you can see what it feels like in your body to hold the paradox, to honor all that is not going the way that you want, while also honoring and holding your whole, that you are whole and complete. See what that feels like to hold both. Okay. And so you may want to continue to practice with that and work with that. The only other piece for now around honoring what is think about the energy. You spoke a little bit, don't pity the person, you know, all of that, but also like, what is the energy that the honoring deserves? Is it in that moment, is it like a serious, sacred, deep, could it use a little humor? Like, oh, that really sucks, you know? Or playfulness or potty mouth, if you're potty mouth, like what is the energy that will support a client in that moment to take it in, to feel really seen and heard in empowering ways? Okay. Let's see what's happening in the chat. Juniper is saying, I once had a prospective client give me a litany of problems she was dealing with. And when I acknowledged with, that sounds like a lot, she responded with, well, now I feel like you think there's no hope for me. You wonder if you would have said, it sounds like you're dealing with a lot, just a little tweak. Would that have made a difference? It might have. So again, you know, we can't control how someone is going to respond. To me, that sounds like a lot. It doesn't sound like it necessarily needs any tweaks. Sometimes what can also help is like normalizing with it. So that sounds like a lot. And I just really want to honor all that you're holding, because I've been there before, holding so much on my plate. And also, you know, there are ways to move through it. You know, again, when you look 2020, what is it? 2020 hindsight vision or whatever that statement is, right? But anyway, my point is sometimes bringing some of the normalizing from your own personal perspective can help too, especially if it's a perspective, a prospect that you don't know well yet, that can sometimes really help. Lisa's saying about when we went in to kind of feel the paradox, that you felt like a tight feeling in your throat, but then being surrounded by a calming white light at the same time. I love that you had that experience, Lisa. And so I would say for you in particular, go back and practice that embodiment, right? Because always in life, we're holding the paradox, right? There's always some shitty and also so much beautiful. So get more, it feels like that's a way that can help you regulate with it, you know, and with the not so savory things. Okay. Let's talk about celebrating. So celebrating is another creating awareness skill that I use a lot in a lot of different ways in my coaching. Simply put, celebrating is celebrating a client's wins, celebrating a client's resources, celebrating a client's talent, celebrating something amazing that has happened, cheering a client on, championing a client. I look for any and all places and reasons to, you know, acknowledge a celebration, any kinds of wins, big and small, inner and outer. Sometimes a client is moving along and the outer change or result hasn't happened yet, but they've made a leap in their inner willingness or working with a fear, or, with a belief has really changed. I am going to acknowledge that. And I am going to celebrate that with the client. Sometimes the outer movement hasn't been big, but they were kind of like stalled and now they've taken the next baby step. That is as big of a celebration as massive win, right? We create change most of the time by small but mighty steps, right? So I'm going to acknowledge any wins. Incredible things that happen to or for a client, I'm going to acknowledge and celebrate that. For sure, reaching goals. If they discover a new resource or skill or talent, I'm going to acknowledge that, celebrate that. If they've decided to stretch in a certain way, right? Let's say we're on a call and they're like, you know what? I am going to put my online dating profile up. And it was like, seemed, you know, impossible before, even though they haven't done it yet, I'm going to acknowledge them for deciding to do something stretchy. Celebrating is another one of the most powerful tools that we have for a number of reasons. The big umbrella on that is because when a human being can for themselves acknowledge what is going well, or what is working, or what resources they have inside of them, they are more able to move forward and to move forward with more confidence. with more self-love, with more self-compassion. When we can acknowledge what is going well, we can move forward with more hope, with more satisfaction. We're more motivated. There's a Hebrew saying, a Jewish saying, that's essentially translated in from strength to strength, which means, like, yes, we have to honor what is, we have to acknowledge what's not going well. Sometimes we have to assess and understand what's not going well to tweak it, but we move forward from honoring one strength to honoring to the next strength, right? We need that as the foundation. And there's always a strength, even in the shittiest of moments, there's always a strength or a resource to be acknowledged. I like to also just kind of as a side note with this, if it's helpful to think about, I really kind of approach client work from a strength-based philosophy. So yes, we will spend some time focusing on and tweaking what's not going well, but I'm not going to spend too much time on something that's not a true asset for a client. I'm going to focus most of the attention on the true assets and the true resources and expanding on those. Does that make sense? So, like, as an example, if I have a client who, we're working on marketing and they're just like, they just don't like social media. It's not their thing. They're not into it. I'm not going to like push to try to get that to work. If they love networking meetings, we're going to leverage the heck out of networking meetings. We're going to leverage, right? And other things that are assets for them. But we can't like find the assets unless we're also acknowledging and celebrating what they are and what the resources are. I see, just like every skill and tool that we learn here, I see this technique or tool of celebrating with clients. It has many functions. Like, it has the function of helping the client move towards whatever goal we're working on. That's kind of like the surface thing. But when we celebrate effectively with clients and acknowledge celebrations, we're also helping our clients over time build their own internal self-celebration muscle, which will last them a lifetime. Right? So we're always working two levels in our container, the thing that we're working towards, and then those like lifelong honoring what is muscles as well, right? Like those things that are going to last the client way beyond the result that they've hired us for. Mallory, the Hebrew for strength to strength is michazak lechazak, if that's helpful. okay. So sounds easy enough. Yay, we're going to celebrate, right? However, it's not so easy and it's not so simple because a lot of human beings have trouble celebrating. And that is precisely why it is such an important coaching skill. Even if a client comes in and they're all like spiritualized and coachified and they have a celebration practice, I promise you there's more embodiment to you know, an integration there. To be done. I know for myself, even though I teach this, I still have to work at like at honoring and embodying all of my celebrations and all that goes well in my life and all of the resources. It is not the default that most of us are set to. If we're not aware of this, and if we don't like understand the human nature behind this, we're going to get into it right now. When we go to celebrate, it can backfire and it can end up possibly shutting a client down or pissing them off or having them lose trust in you or having them silently agree, but not really take it in, right? So we want to be aware of all of this. So why do some humans, well, I'm going to say all humans, but there's a spectrum, right, have trouble celebrating? A couple of reasons. This isn't an exhaustive list, but I want to share you some of them with you, some of the most common, so you have it in your awareness. Number one, because we tend to focus on the negative and on what isn't working. It's hammered in, right, in society for so many people. For some people, they get an icky feeling when they're being acknowledged for something positive. It's almost like, don't see me, it's not true. Or if you believe this about me now, then you're going to find out that I'm not really that, I'm going to look bad, right? For some people, they don't want to celebrate, kind of like the evil eye. We don't want to set ourselves up to be hopeful and then fail. Some people have trouble celebrating because they were taught that it's obnoxious to think really highly of themselves and their accomplishments. Some people have trouble celebrating because they actually don't realize, this is where some consulting or facting come into play. They don't actually realize that it's that good. Like, that being a good listener is a resource, that walking into a room and like being magnetic and right, they actually don't know that what they have, they just take for granted what they have inside of them. They haven't been taught that this is a beautiful, amazing thing. Some people have trouble with celebrations because we don't really know how to receive. We're going to get into this much later in the program, but I'm just like kind of seeding it now. The art of receptivity has kind of been lost in Western culture. I know for even like for myself, I used to, true story, up until very recently, when I would receive testimonials from clients, I would have my team read them. It hurt to read the testimonials. It was hard for me to take in, or I would just quick scan it and pass it along because it was so hard for me to receive back the goodness of what I had put out into the world. All right, let's take a little bit of a deeper look at this, because to be able to truly celebrate somebody else and have it be effective, we have to feel comfortable both celebrating others and celebrating ourselves. So I'll ask you a couple of questions. How and how often were you celebrated by your family of origin? How and how often were you celebrated by your family of origin? Take a moment and think on that one. here's another thing to think on, create some awareness on. When you were celebrated, what was the motivation? What was the motivation? So when you were celebrated, was it because that person celebrating you was truly supportive of you? Was it to just pretend like everything was okay when it really wasn't? Was it to pressure you to continue to perform well? Was it to compare you to your siblings? Was it manipulative? So when you were celebrated, what was the motivation? Good question, Helen. Maybe just connect into the energy of it. And also if you, I've got some other questions that will help you go inwards here. So if you can't remember, it's really okay. Even if you don't remember facts, if you can remember like how you perceived certain things, that might be interesting or valuable information for you. And if not, just wait for the next question. Yeah, Lisa's saying, I feel like my parents celebrated me for achievements in a supportive way, yet I experienced it as a pressure to continue to have to do well, right? So it's good to know that. And I also ask these questions because a client might feel that way too, right? We kind of just like want to understand as much around human behavior. The more, a big philosophy that I have, and we see, like throughout Sacred Depths, we do this in every module, is to understand as much about human behavior on the skill that we're looking at. So we know how to use the skill and the technique to meet the moment. Here's another question that might give you some insights. How did your parents or other role models celebrate or not celebrate themselves? What was modeled for you around celebration, in other words? Helen saying, I feel that perhaps I was congratulated, but not celebrated. Yeah, it might be valuable, it may or may not, Helen, to define for yourself the difference between being congratulated versus celebrated. It feels like there's some, could be some important juice there for you. Nisha saying, I was celebrated by my family of origin, but it was mostly about traditional milestones. Yes, yes. I think you're not the only one on that. So good to notice. Danielle is saying, it may be a filter of mine, but as I reflect on these questions, it feels like there's a significant distinction between being celebrated for achieving, doing versus for the person that you are and your inner commitment, work, essence. This feels very connected to how praise can be unhelpful and actually harmful for children if it's just about the end product. Yes, yes. So true. Sheila's saying also an undercurrent of parents taking credit for or identifying my achievements. Yeah. Victoria is saying, so much based on competition and comparison. Yeah. Okay, couple other questions that will maybe yield some more insights. How have role models or authority figures responded to you if you've celebrated yourself? So in moments where you've been proud of yourself and expressed it, or celebrated yourself or your achievements and expressed it, how have role models or authority figure or of anyone really responded to you? Mallory, thank you for your share in the chat. Yeah. Maybe on this last question, did we get the feeling? Did you get the feeling when you celebrated yourself that someone thought you were too big for your britches? Was there maybe in your family, like a fear of the evil eye, or you might jinx yourself if you acknowledge that things are going really well, or, was competition activated? Bruce is saying very little acknowledgement around celebration. And when it did happen, it was muffled, hard to allow for celebration today and allow it, but getting better at receiving it. Yes, always a process. Lisa's saying, when I got a 2-1 for my first degree, my older brother commented, "Oh, so you didn't get a first then?" So yeah. All right, last question on this for right now. How well do you receive compliments? I am a work in progress on this one, as I mentioned earlier. How well do you receive compliments? Lisa's saying, depends on my perception of the sincerity. Yep. We're going to get to how all of this translates into how we celebrate our clients. All right. I'd love to hear what you're starting to see practitioner-wise that's feeling really important for you. We have time for one voice to voice on this, maybe two. What are you starting to see about celebrations practitioner-wise that feels important, Golda?
So my love language is words of affirmation, and if it's done well, then it's like really good. And I'm noticing I have a client who I share my celebrations of them and give them words of affirmation. And I can just, it either doesn't land or it's not their love language. So it feels like a filter. And yeah, just really bringing awareness to myself. And my question would be like, how to address, when there's not, receptivity. Yes.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're bringing it up, and we're going to, great segue. So we're going to get there in the next 10 minutes. So let's go there. Okay, good. So first, I want to share, like I said earlier, I look for many ways and moments for celebration. again, because of those two through lines in the work for the like achieving the goal, but also building the muscle. So because of that, for me, when clients fill out prep forms before each session, there's always a question in there of what would you like to celebrate from our last, since that, you know, since our last session. Not always, but sometimes in the beginning of a session, especially if I've read it in the prep form, I will take a moment to acknowledge, you know, what's going really well, inner and outer movement, et cetera. Of course, I do it throughout the session as it comes up, but sometimes I make note of that. And then the other thing is I let my clients know, it's not just about in this moment we're celebrating, it is about that, but also just throughout, I let my clients know in a multitude of different ways how much I respect and honor and admire them. I believe that another one of our jobs as practitioners is to let our clients know just in all the big and little ways that we know our client is a person of deep value, right? A valuable person. So even as part of that, sometimes when a client shares something and I learn something from it, or it moves me personally, I don't make a big deal out of it and you take up a lot of space in their session time, but I'll say, you know, I'll say, wow, that really moved me, or thank you for that. I've got ideas for myself because of what you just said, right? Just as one example, but I'm always one of my intentions is for my clients to know that I respect, honor, and admire them. If a client, as Golda was saying, has trouble celebrating themselves, or you sense that they're not really in it, there are different things that you can do. So sometimes I will acknowledge, you know, I'll make a reflection of something amazing. And I'll say to my client, can you take that in, right? And then if not, we'll have a conversation about it. Or I might say, how are you taking that in? Or I might say, you know, if it's a client I know that will respond well to this, can you take a moment and close your eyes and let's just have some space for you to let that land and take that in, feel that in your body, or how does that feel? Or what do you know, right? Or put a hand on your heart, right? That kind of thing. Sometimes I might say, I know that you sometimes have trouble honoring yourself. And so I want to share this reflection and let's see how you take it in, right? So I'll preempt that. If a client, and you know, I will also normalize sometimes at the beginning of a coaching relationship, it's hard to honor oneself. It's hard to take in celebrations, you know, and we might speak to that. Or if I see that it's an ongoing pattern, I might ask the client if they're willing to do some exploration together on that pattern and where it comes, right? And then do some coaching on it. So hopefully that answers your question, Golda. There's a multitude of ways. What else do I want to share? Oh, clients can smell bullshit from a mile away, right? So don't go celebrating something that you don't really think is a celebration, because they will smell it. Don't just again, excuse my language, don't just blow sunshine up your client's ass, right? Like, that's not, it's about honesty and authenticity and not exaggerated and also not celebrating in a moment where first honoring what is needs to happen, right? It's about acknowledging the celebrations in the right moment when it can be received, when it can be looked at. All right. So, you know, we had our two back-to-back sessions today. You have 2 weeks to work on this and really the whole program and beyond to integrate and embody, but don't feel like now you need to know all of it. Take your time over the next 2 weeks. Do the homework. If you're working with a coaching partner in the program, practice all these different ways of creating awareness, reflecting, acknowledging, celebrating, and then talk about it afterwards, see how it goes. All right. I'd love to hear what you're taking away from our time together today. And any questions that you have? What are you taking away? Victoria.
I'm like sitting with this activation, doing that exercise about, you know, how celebration was experienced for ourselves in our own lives and how it was modeled for us. And I had this moment of like, you know, when you asked, like, when you were to express it, how was it received? I had this moment of like, oh, no, that's called gloating, and like feeling like, oh, so you think you're better now? You think you're so good now? And I was like, oh, my gosh, I had this like through line happen to my present day life where I was just like, oh, that's still showing up for me in my life, like, for sure. And like, I'm all activated about it now. So I'm going to go tap after the call, but I wanted to name it because I was like, wow, that's really powerful.
Yeah. So, you know, as I often say, I'm sorry that it's coming up, but I'm also so happy that it's coming up. And I love the awareness that you're bringing to it. Is it okay for us to just go a little more into it? I know you'll do tapping, just like a real quickie, and it's okay if not too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. if you take a moment and if it feels right to close your eyes and connect into your higher wisdom, the part of you that really knows, what is the higher truth that you know about celebrating yourself?
That we all have the right to do this. Mm. That there's enough space for us all, that go ahead and stretch and fill out your space as it feels good. We all have that right.
Yes. Where do you feel that truth and that knowing in your body?
It just feels like relaxing.
Yes.
And it just feels like a drop, like, oof.
Yes. Let yourself have that, Victoria. Make a body memory of that and that truth.
It feels really good. And I think it's also so powerful because it's with all of you. Like, that's how this mycelium network works. So thank you for that space.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing yourself with us. Mm. Helen.
My biggest takeaway is actually from a reflection that Danielle shared in the chat about the distinction between being celebrated for doing and achieving versus being and your essence. And I realized that growing up, like my academic achievements and my sports performances, like they were always acknowledged and appreciated, but I don't really recall being celebrated for who I am. And because the last 5 years have really been a healing journey for me, and it's all been inner work without me producing very much outside of me, I've really been stuck in this cycle and spiral of shame and judgment because I feel like I haven't been doing anything to be worthy when I've actually grown and become such a beautiful person in so many beautiful ways. It just doesn't show in these concrete things that I've done and produced. And so just recognizing how I've been withholding celebrating myself, really, and just kind of having this aha moment of like, yeah, like, wow, look at all I have done. Like, it's not on, it doesn't look good on paper, but like how I've shifted in my relationship to myself and all the toxic people and things I've cut out of my life. And just, yeah, just like kind of, it felt like a rush of air coming in and like being able to breathe in a new way. And there's more air available. And I'm just really grateful for that reflection.
I'm so happy. I can feel it. I can feel it in your share. I want to honor you for all of that. And if you were to give yourself a coaching homework assignment to go deeper with this and to celebrate all of those things that are in your essence, that are who you are, what's a homework assignment that you'd like to give yourself?
I want to write a letter to myself, like kind of a love letter, just like clarifying and going over everything I have accomplished. And I also would like to, on my socials, like publicly make a declaration to celebrate myself, to really honor that for myself.
Beautiful. Yes. I love it. It feels so powerful. Good. All right. One last share, Danielle. You there, Danielle?
Sorry, I'm just talking on mute. Sorry. I was just saying this question might be something you go further into another time. And it came up for me when we were talking about reflecting truth. And you were saying, yeah, we can't live in mortal fear of offending a client. And as a newbie, like brand new, I think in the process of coming to terms with like, this is what I want to do, something that came up with my sacred depths practitioner coach was when I was listening to my inner flame and having this amazing visualization, this wisdom, profound wisdom came through of like, you're not going to harm people. And that was indirect. I mean, I don't even really remember saying it. She typed up stuff. So I've taken that as like, yep, yeah, that is a huge value of mine, that I'm not harming anyone. And in the reflecting truth arena, and you saying, you know, sometimes there is going to be offense and we need to be okay with that. And I see everyone being like, yeah, this gives me more confidence. I can sense in myself, there is not growing confidence hearing that. There's actually like, then what? What do you do? Because in my career so far, I wasn't having encounters with clients being offended by me. There was a lot of coworker relationships and amazing stuff going on there with repair, but not with clients and something being ruptured that big where you're like, so it feels like it might be connected to fear and resistance stuff later. I wanted to just put it out there that I have big questions about that.
Yes, yes. I'm so glad that you are. And for now, I'll say a couple things and we'll keep on coming back and also keep on asking, you know, but for now, a couple things. So repair is not, doesn't have to be a complicated thing. It really is as simple as believing your client when they say they've been offended, acknowledging and honoring that, apologizing, asking them if there is more that is important to share. And sometimes like that, most of the time, like that is enough, right? Maybe making a commitment for moving forward on it. It's not about like a big drawn out thing. And it is because so often in our younger lives, a mistake was made and the authority figure didn't acknowledge it. And there was a power play there simply by an equal of the playing field and acknowledging and taking responsibility. That is often all that's needed. So I want to kind of like leave you with that. And then the other piece is you're just starting. So like you get to decide where your edge is, right? And maybe your edge is like not reflecting zinger, whatever it is. That's fine. You're going to get so much confidence from all the other practice. You work yourself up to it, right? So you get to decide where your edge is too. On all of this. And it doesn't mean you're not doing enough or not going to be awesome or amazing or already are awesome or amazing because you are. Is that helpful for now? Okay, great. All right, everyone. I'm sending you all a lot of love. I can't wait to see how all of this evolves for you, inner and outer. And I will see you very soon. Have a great rest of your day.